The goal of this podcast is to help you break in and thrive in advertising or in marketing. And perhaps one day you will be the CMO of Starbucks or run retail marketing at Apple. Today, you will learn and hear from Emily Chang, CEO of McCann World Group China. She is an incredible leader and blew my mind in this episode with her amazing perspective. Emily is a senior executive with 23 years of experience. 11 of those are at P&G with experience in all three global business units from front-end innovation to retail. She joined Apple in 2011 to establish the face of the brand in China, then was promoted to head of retail marketing for Asia. In 2014, she joined Intercontinental Hotel Groups as CCO, where they had $2.7 billion in revenue, 200 people on the corporate team, and 5,200 people for the on-property staff. Amazing. And in 2017, she joined Starbucks to look after their branded customer experience, first as CMO for China, and then as SVP for marketing based in Seattle. Now, she's looking after McCann World Group China. Emily gives profound advice in this episode and lists out some pretty amazing resources, including her book, The Spare Room. But you can find those and get all the details on our Instagram page at Breaking and Entering Pod. That's at Breaking and Entering Pod for all of those. Now, on with the show. This is the Breaking and Entering Advertising Podcast. And as usual, I'm your accomplice, Gino Schellenberger. Kick it, Mikey. All right. Emily Chang, welcome to the Breaking and Entering Advertising Podcast. Thank you so, so much for coming on. How are you doing today?
I'm great. Thanks for having me, Gino.
Thanks for coming on. This is going to be a great episode. I know you have so much to talk about. You have such a rich career. And I'm excited to talk because you are the CEO of McCann World Group China. Is that correct?
Yes.
Amazing. So that's a pretty heavy title. But for the goal of this podcast, you know, we'd like to talk to our audience who are predominantly aspiring advertisers, whether they're in college or they're trying to break in from another career. They're looking for you to give great advice. So let's start off with explaining who is Emily Chang, what do you do, and we'll go from there.
I think you can break into advertising at any age, at any point in your career, because I have never worked at a full-time creative agency. And yet at the age of, you know, maybe 45, I had the opportunity to pick up this role, which is leading McCann World Group for the China market. That's including three agencies, McCann Erickson, MRM, which is McCann Relationship Marketing, and Kraft, which is a production studio. We have three offices in Shanghai, Beijing, and Guangzhou, and it's just been an incredible learning experience. So this was a really good fit when you reached out to me, because I thought, well, I joined much, much later after 22 years of work experience, and I'm happy to share what I've learned along the way.
I love it. And so when did you start your current role?
Let's see. I think that was June 2020.
Okay, gotcha. So what were you doing before that?
I paused for a year. I called it my hashtag professional halftime. Nice. To take a break and pursue a personal passion. And I think maybe in some ways it wasn't intentional. And I certainly still hadn't thought about going into the agency side, but I felt a deep desire to pursue a creative interest. I'd always wanted to write a book, and I'd been sort of niggling with this project since 2017. Sure. And finally, with an opportunity to relocate to the States, which was great for my daughter who grew up in China and had an opportunity to experience American education, it was a chance to take 1 year off, kind of a limited time frame, give myself the space to see if I can write a book. And you know, even the goal of the book, I kind of held loosely in the palm of my hand. I said, I'd like to write it. There's some stories that are getting on 20 years old and they're going to start fading more and more. So my goal is just to write it. And then let's just see what happens. And not knowing anything about the publishing world, I felt incredibly blessed because I got picked up by an agent and then we signed on with Post Hill. We're distributed through Simon & Schuster.
Nice.
And in 1 year, that gave me the chance to do something completely new. And I think for people who are listening and are interested to move into the agency world, whatever you're thinking about moving into, it takes a degree of courage, you know, and of maybe thick skin to dive into something of which you don't know much, but you're willing to learn as you go. And you're willing to, I would say one thing that's important is define success loosely. When you aim so much for a title or for a level or a role or a specific income, if you don't hit that specific thing, it's easy to feel like a failure. Instead, if you have a broader goal, a lighthouse that you're aiming toward, which is a general direction,
sure.
What you find is you don't get hampered by this feeling of, you know, inadequacy or failure, but instead you're kind of saying, well, yeah, I'm still moving toward that goal. Right. And even as you and I are talking before we started recording, I think you have exactly that attitude. It's a great one because it allows us to maximize our experience set and learn and grow day by day without, you know, sort of self-controlled constraints.
Tell us about your book. What's it called? What's it about?
It's called The Spare Room, and it started off telling stories of the 17 kids that we've taken care of in our spare bedroom over the last 22 years. And it quickly evolved through the process to become more of a leadership book in many ways, because I discovered by uncovering what lay behind my spare room, which I call the social legacy, and by integrating my personal life and what we do in our home kind of to support our community with my professional life, which is what I do at work to support my people, it unlocked a degree of congruency in my life, and it unlocked a degree of sort of authenticity and engagement with my teams that I was lacking before. So I'm hoping that this book called The Spare Room helps every reader. It's written with sort of stage by stage how-tos and self-reflections. How do you define your own offer? What is that unique set of skills, capabilities, experiences that you bring to the table? On the other side, what is your offense? What is the thing that you want to aim what you have to offer against? And the intersection of that simple Venn diagram is called your social legacy. So how do you leave things better than you find them? That's legacy. Social defines the space in which you want to have that impact. And I've realized that my social legacy is incredibly congruent, whether at home or at work. It's about, you know, there's a South Korean who lived with us, and he described this word kibun to me. It's about comfort for the spirit. That's how he defined what it felt like to live in my home. And I found that so empowering and inspiring. I'm sure that's not always the case, but you know, when we're at our best, that's probably what my family and I offer. So I would love to bring that kibun, that comfort for the spirit, to the workplace. And today, everyone's talking about DEINA. I mean, really, isn't that just comfort for the spirit? And as we talk about an advertising agency or a creative agency, what could be more important than feeling like I have comfort for the spirit when I get to the workplace?
Heck yeah. That's the goal. I love that. It would make for much more creative environments. So how are you doing that for your agency at McCann?
Well, it starts with the micro. I think if we want to live with intention, and that's part of the subtitle of this book, intention comes with starting with small decisions. So at the micro level, how do I design my office space so that it's open, welcoming, and warm? That I'm taking down any barriers between me and anyone who wants to engage with me.
Nice.
How do I create in my calendar? It's called WAT, walking around time. How do I book 10-minute blocks where I'm not just walking around the floor where I sit, but I walk across all the different floors where I have people in the agencies? If you don't build in that time, before you know it, a week can go by and you've never left your own floor. Well, then how are you being visible? How are you creating opportunities for engagement and connection? And that's your responsibility as a leader. So those are micro moments that I hope people are thinking about. And you don't have to be a CEO to think about these things.
Yep.
How are you intentionally designing small moments in your day for connection?
Absolutely.
And how do you go from that really micro, you know, 10-minute block into a weekly block? By the end of this week, I want to X. I want to work out this many times. I want to have 3 meaningful connections with people I don't know today in my agency. I want to participate in 1 pitch, even though maybe I don't have to in my job, but I love it. I love supporting my team and I love engaging with clients, you know, 1 a week. or whatever that looks like for different functions and different levels. And then on a monthly basis, how do I make sure I'm setting aside time for my leadership team lunch? We do this once a month. We sit down, we all have lunch together. It is the most raucous meeting in all of McCann World Group China. But it's important because if I don't schedule that time, time gets away from us and it'll have been two months before the LT has even sat down together. And then quarterly, how am I scheduling all hands? How are we getting, you know, 400 people together across different offices to connect and hear about our priorities, hear about how we're doing? Biannually, how are we taking time to celebrate? So when I say micro to macro, I really mean very intentionally, as you can see, from very small pockets of time to middle to bigger to these macro moments. I think it is a leader's job to make sure we're thinking about those things with specificity and then putting our money where our mouth is and delivering those things.
I love that. I definitely resonate with just the walking around time. I run communications at the agency I work at, so I make an effort to be here every day, and definitely is not mandatory. It seems a little crazy nowadays, but I go in the office every day. I want to make myself visible because I want to try to help that culture that we're aiming for to create that, and also to communicate ideas and communicate the news that we have. I need to be there. I want to serve as an example for that. So definitely resonate with that. But your ideas of leadership are just astounding. And your track record is astounding. I want to dive into that too. But while we're on this subject, we do know the majority of the people listening are students or people that want to break in. So why do we care, you know, about leadership tactics if we're just breaking in now? And these like methodologies, what could we do? How could we apply these early in our career to help us thrive?
That's a great question. I think you want to empower yourself early on. When you're going to an interview, you're not just being interviewing. You're not just being interviewed. You're also interviewing the company. Is this a place that's worthy of your time, where you're going to spend more time than anywhere else in your life? Is this a place where you can see yourself thriving? So understanding leadership principles, I think, is really important because you want to understand the kind of culture that you're entering. You want to know what your leader prioritizes. So I've encouraged people when they go to interviews, you know, at the end, they ask you, do you have any questions? By the way, there is a wrong answer, which is no. Yeah, you should always have questions, but what do you want to know about? You can always learn more about the work as you go. You want to know about the culture. How do you get at it? If you ask this very leading question of, tell me about the culture, they're going to tell you, you know, what the company has kind of trained them to say, whether it's true or not, or whether it is most of the time or minimally what they represent. But instead, you can ask your leader, your interviewer, questions like, so when's the last time you got all your people together? Mm-hmm. So how often do you bring all hands together? Mm-hmm. What do you do on a micro level? So everything I just shared with you guys, the things that are important to you, write it down. And next time you're in an interview, ask, how often do you do this? Maybe it's the specifics that I gave you, but those are just examples. And you should feel confident that when you go to a company, you know that they put their money where their mouth is and that they are going to put priority on people first, because there's no company on the face of this earth who doesn't say people are a priority, but how many operate in a way that makes their people feel deeply valued, respected, and seen.
I just had somebody reach out today asking, what's the culture like in Havas, Chicago? I go, it's great. I'm happy to hop on a call with you right now. It was just on a quick LinkedIn message. I already know. I'm like, it's super great. I love it here. Just your kind of cookie cutter answers. But it was a very general question. Like, I'm like, let's hop on the phone and talk about it. But I like that idea is like having specifics, like when, like how often do you meet like all hands? Like when was the last time you had like some sort of get together? So that's a really smart, I think that's great. But how about like on the other side, like, let's say you just broke into advertising and you're an entry-level role, junior copywriter, junior art director or assistant account executive. What are the like case studies, I guess, how can we apply some of these methodologies when we're in our role there at the agency or any company?
Say more about methodologies. What's the question?
How can we like apply these leadership principles once we've broken in?
Well, I think everyone has the opportunity to demonstrate leadership on a day-by-day basis. Even if you don't manage people, you're managing processes, you're managing systems, you're managing client expectations, right?
Absolutely.
So I think there's an opportunity earlier in your career to define how you want to operate. You know, the standard in marketing is who, what, and how. So who are you? What is your role? And how do you want to bring the best of who you are into the workplace every day? So I think everybody can decide. Like I just got off the phone with somebody I've mentored for a long time, and she's still kind of in a junior role on the client side. And she said, well, I have a boss who works 16 hours a day and I'm just not willing to do it. I don't want to look lazy. I don't want to look uncommitted, but it's just not reasonable. 16 hours a day. I go to bed at 11 or 12 p.m. after being on emails. I wake up at 6 and I have 50 emails in my inbox. So I understand the conundrum. And she's asking the question that you're asking, which is, while I'm in a relatively junior spot, what can I control? And how do I operate in a way that is respectful and yet defines my own boundaries? So there are a couple of tips that we talked about. If you know how you want to operate, if you're willing to put in extra hours, but you're not willing to, you know, forego sleep and well-being for the job, then what are the elements that you might be able to kind of get a handle on? For instance, she has asked, which one is the most important out of these 50 emails I woke up to in my inbox? And the answer was all of them. Okay, that's not very helpful. So maybe you respond and take sort of matters in your own hand and you say, okay, let me chew through these emails. On this one, I can get back to you tomorrow. Please confirm. Or on this one, I can't get back to you until Thursday. If there's an issue with that, please let me know. So if somebody doesn't give you timelines, you give them timelines. You lead up just like you're expecting your manager to lead down, because it is a two-way relationship. Those are some practical tips, I think, for people at any level.
Fantastic. I love that. And that's super important. And I get what she said. They're all equally important. I feel that, being relatively junior myself. It does feel like that when you're inexperienced and you're just starting out and your manager sends you 50 emails, I'd be gone. I don't know. Good for her that she's got the patience. I'd skedaddle for sure. But it definitely feels like a lot of waves and a lot of stress in the beginning. So that advice of managing up and giving timelines when they're not there, I think that's super smart and really practical on any job. So I love it. Let's dive into now kind of like how you got to see to your current role as CEO at McCann World Group. But you said you weren't in advertising at a creative shop beforehand. So what were some of the roles that you worked at before breaking into advertising?
Before writing the book, I was the CMO for Starbucks based in China. And then prior to that, I was the chief commercial officer at Intercontinental Hotels Group, looking after Asia. So that was an amazing role, looking after 7 or 8 hotel brands and hundreds of hotels across the region. Prior to IHG, I was at Apple as the head of retail marketing for Asia Pacific. And I started my career with 11 years at Procter & Gamble. So starting in kind of traditional CPG, working at the company, and then going to Apple and really immersing into retail. From retail, which was really dimensionally much more holistic than CPG, because now, you know, you're not only just shipping your product to be put on someone's shelves, online or offline, you have the opportunity to have customers who are coming into your store and actively asking you to engage with them. And then when I went to hospitality, kind of reversing the timeline, you know, you almost had a fourth dimension, because it's not only the people are coming into your product, your hotel, but they are trusting you with their most intimate moments to stay with you. And that's where I think I started doubling down on this idea of customer experience, because this online and offline integrated customer experience is really critical. How do we help people become comfortable and trusting in who we are and what we promise as a brand? I think everything that we do intentionally, both in the online space with the offline space, is really important.
Amazing. And what about Starbucks? How is that?
When I joined Starbucks, in some ways, it was an interesting move because it was much smaller. It was just one brand. But on the other hand, I had been so enamored with understanding digital ecosystems and how do we create a great customer engagement online. And I don't think anyone did it better than Starbucks. So having the chance to join as a CMO, not only did I look after the marketing, the categories, insights, et cetera, more of the traditional pieces, I also looked after what we call the digital flywheel and digital ventures group. So that included the loyalty programs, mm-hmm. the B2B space, as well as all digital engagements from our own app to our partnerships through in China, Alibaba and Tencent.
Interesting. So I think I'm curious now. A lot of people will start careers, at least that I've talked to, will start careers in, on the creative agency route and then transfer over to brand side later on. So you kind of flip the script here. What is there to say? Why did you do that? I mean, is there, what advice, like, do you think there's value in starting off brand side and then going, and then, or starting off client side and then going agency side later in your career? What are your views on that?
I don't think it's more about one side or the other side.
Okay.
I think we limit our thinking a little bit when we talk that way.
Sure.
I think it's about where you want to start, where you think you have the most to contribute and the most to learn. So when I started at Procter & Gamble, I didn't have a side. I didn't know enough to know what sides were. And frankly, I don't know that there are such clear lines anymore or ever.
Yeah,
but
for
what
sure.
I liked about P&G is it's such a broad company. It's a great training company. And yeah. there's so many opportunities to work across over 500 brands in different markets, in different roles. And that's why I was there for 11 years. I think if we can, it's funny, you said before I would skedaddle. No disrespect. I think young people jump very quickly these days. Mm-hmm. There's something about not running away from hardship. I think there is so much richness to be learned when we're willing to dive in deep and deal with some things that are uncomfortable because mm-hmm. we learn from them. If we constantly run from things that feel uncomfortable or unfair, you know, the world is not necessarily just, but we also can recognize with generosity of spirit that most people are trying to do the best they can. You know, and as I was mentoring this previous mentee, so, you know, you help her just like she is in her way trying to help you and see if you can get to a good place. Because if you can power through the hardships, you're going to learn so much more. Mm-hmm. So at P&G, I felt like I had the opportunity to learn so much in so many different roles. At Apple, that was an incredibly challenging job. In many ways, yeah. I was, you know, my title was the head of retail marketing, but you kind of have to do whatever you need to do. And I love that kind of role. And I realized by doubling down through some of the tougher moments that I actually like the tough moments. I like pulling a team together and charging through something, you know, holding hands, and then the sense of satisfaction coming out on the other side, watching people grow, watching them develop and watching them step into the next level of leadership. That's really rewarding for me. And I think, you know, when I went into IHG, people asked me a similar question to what you asked. Why did you join hospitality? Well, I was intrigued by the opportunity when you guys reached out to me. So it's not that I would say I joined hospitality or at McCann, I joined an agency. I would say I saw a really cool company in a really interesting mm-hmm. industry. And for me, looking to make change. And for me, I right. like change management. And so those couple things were true, irrespective of the industry itself.
Interesting. I love it. And amazing. I mean, I'm speechless. What are your next steps? I feel like your career has been so great. Are you gonna is McCann on the agenda for the next couple of years? Like, what are you thinking?
Well, it's been almost 2.5 years and I love it. I mean, this is an industry which is all about helping creative thrive. And it's all people mm-hmm. leadership. It's funny, at IHG, we talked about being an asset-light company. You know, at Procter & Gamble, you've got supply chains. You invest hundreds of millions in these factories to produce things that then go packaged into packages that then go into trucks. It's all very physical.
Right.
At IHG, we didn't own the hotels. We were the operating company. So we owned sort of the commercial assets, the loyalty programs, the sales systems. And now I'm in a place where it's completely asset-free. Like my P&L is incredibly straightforward. I pay for people and real estate. And then the revenue comes in when I think I have the best people doing the best work and I'm enabling them to thrive. So that's an incredibly fulfilling job. And I think I've never, like I said before, I've always encouraged people to not run away from a job. I've never left a job because I was unhappy. I've always powered through because I want to see what I can learn and I want to see what looks like maturity on the other side and wisdom. But what I have done is I've run toward jobs that are irresistible. So at P&G, you know, I got recruited by Apple. And at first, I have to admit, I thought it was a hoax. I was like, surely Apple's not recruiting me. Why would they recruit me? I've been at P&G my whole career. Well, they had seen that I'd worked with Walmart down in Arkansas. And I think they'd seen the diversity of brands that I'd worked on. And it really was Apple. So after I counted them as spam, and they emailed me again. And then I realized, oh my goodness, like this is such a great opportunity to work for a world-class brand just as they're entering China. So I was super excited about that opportunity. And so when I left P&G, I left it in a really positive way because I told them, you guys, I cannot resist. This is like, this is really a dream job. And I think in each of the opportunities, that's how I felt. Even writing the spare room book, it was irresistible to me. I really wanted to pursue this passion project. I'd already been talking about it, investing time in it for a couple of years. Well, you know, put your money where your mouth is, do it for a year and see what happens.
Yeah.
And then when I was recruited by McCann, same thing. I was like, well, I've never thought about advertising or creative services, but that actually sounds fascinating to me. So we run toward the things that ignite our passions, where for me, there's a simple formula. Can you keep learning and can you keep contributing? As long as you can keep doing those two things, you're in the heart of the right place. Yep. There's always going to be ups and downs. And I think the one other thing I'd say is we have this phrase, which is follow your heart. And I personally find this to be a really faulty phrase. I don't think we should follow our hearts. Our hearts are so easily bruised. They're tenderized. They're inflated in a moment. And then they come crashing down in another moment. Mm-hmm. Instead, follow a North Star. Follow a vision that you have for yourself. What do you want to learn? What do you think you can bring to the table? Constantly focus on those things. Is there more to learn here? If so, don't run away. Is there more you can contribute here? Well, bring it to the table because that's what you're paid to do. Mm-hmm. And if you can continue to learn and contribute, then you're in the heart of where you should be.
I love that. So what are your goals? What's your North Star right now with McCann Worldgroup China?
It's continuing to grow. So we had a very clear vision to not be seen as a traditional 4A's ad agency. So you've probably heard me. Every time you say ad agency, I kind of say creative services because we don't have the huge franchise that includes media. We are really creative. We're creative on McCann. We're creative for relationship marketing on MRM, and we're creative production on craft. So that's an incredible sort of jewel that I get the opportunity to work on. And we've rebuilt our leadership team. They are wonderful. We have this awesome suite of clients, which are like jewel-worthy great, not only the brands, but the people we have the privilege to partner with. So we want to continue to grow. We have just introduced, or we will be introducing, something super exciting. We'll have to wait for the press release. It's not quite out yet. But I'm so proud of the team for building some new capabilities, everything from this thing that you'll see soon to advisory services. We have stepped up our digital engagement. So now we have our own WeChat SCRM platform that we've built in-house that we can then, you know, partner with clients. And that way they're not looking at a white label or a third party. They can directly operationalize on WeChat and own all of their data. These are the things to me, like only the boring get bored in this space. So what else can we build? What else can we develop? And what else can we partner with client brands to take branded customer experience to the next level?
Love it. Love it. And when you are hiring, and you said you hired a new leadership team, any advice that you might have for the aspiring advertiser from what you've learned from hiring C-suite level people?
Yeah, I hired a lot of people in the last couple of jobs. The first thing, I mean, it sounds so basic. Please know the brand and know the role that you're applying for. I've hated to be a hard ass, but I have been. When people come in and I ask them, why are you interested in this role? And they don't have a good answer. Well, neither of us should waste our time. So with all due respect.
Yeah, just say, see ya. Yeah.
No, not like that. Not at all. But with all due respect, why don't you go back and do your research and see if this is a company that really is interesting to you? Right. And if this role is interesting, come back. I will make more time, but let's not keep talking now. Mm-hmm. That's one.
That's nice. That's nice of you.
Well, I think it's the reasonable view. I think the other thing is you should do your research on the company. You should know what clients we support and have an idea on why those clients are interesting to you. You know, when I remember working at Starbucks, I was interviewing somebody to join our digital products team, and it was working on the app in particular. Sure. And I said, well, what do you think about the app? He said, oh, well, I've never downloaded it. I said, well, you know, I think we should probably pause here. Go home, download it. come back when you're prepared to share with me your thoughts on what's working, what's not working, what you would like to come and improve. Mm-hmm. So it's not to be difficult, but it's to say you should do your homework. You should know why you want this job. Because if you don't come in with clarity on that, then nobody should be wasting our time mutually.
Love it.
The first thing. I would also say then you should have an idea of what you want in your job and in the culture of the place that you want to join. Like I said earlier, so come in with your list of questions, prepared to try and answer the questions that are in your mind on, is this place going to be a great place for me? Is this a place that I'm going to be able to not just survive or check the box or do the job, but a place where I can thrive and grow in my career?
Love it. Yeah. Amazing. Any other big pieces of advice that you have on the top of your mind that you may have thought of today before coming on?
I think that was a lot of advice.
Yeah, no, you did a great job, Emily. Perfect. And if people want to connect with you, how can they do that? If they have any questions on breaking into McCann or any sort of creative service organization or like a PNG, Starbucks, anything like that, like any advice that you might have, how can people reach out to you?
You can always find me on LinkedIn. It's Emily Chang 8621. Or you can find me on my website, because I'm always there and my email's there as well. It's Emily, or the website is www.social-legacy.com.
Yep. And there you can find her book as well, The Spare Room.
If you want to see some other random sort of engaging videos and posts, you can also find me on Instagram and Facebook at thespareroom.emilychang. So all of those channels have completely different content and engagement. Sure.
As I should.
Interesting.
Love it. Awesome. Well, this has been great. Super, super helpful. So thank you very much, Emily.
I'm so glad to do it. And I love that you're doing this for all the people who are interested to break into the industry. That's great.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you so much for listening to this entire episode of the Breaking and Entering Advertising Podcast. If you like what you heard, it would mean a lot to us and help us grow and get better guests and better break-ins if you can go to Apple Podcasts and leave us 5 stars and a small review if you have the time. Be sure to connect with our guests if you like what they said by going to our Instagram at Breaking and Entering Pod. That's all one word, Breaking and Entering Pod on Instagram. We have links to their portfolios and their LinkedIn, and they want to connect, so do that. And thank yous. Thank you to Mikey Malarkey, our audio engineer, and Bujun Jung, our creative director. Can't do without you two, and a team from the University of Illinois. It's a student team from the agency called AdBuzz, their PR agency, and it's been a pleasure working with them. Thank you all so much, and we will see you next week with another amazing guest.